Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to read a scripture. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, everlasting God, Lord, we believe in the power of prayer, this great privilege that you have given to us. Lord, we ask for your help tonight to pray for your church, for your people. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead us, that he would join our hearts together, and that, Lord, you would guide us so that our prayers really bless and accomplish much for your church around the world. Lord, we thank you for the victory of Christ, that the world is his, and that he is gathering a people from every nation to be his people. So, Lord, we pray and ask for your help, Lord, that you would guide us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you want to get the dogs the shout?
Sorry.
If
it's not the kids, it's the dogs.
It's not going to make any difference to my neighbour.
Sorry.
She wants to be in here. Yes, she does.
Well, if you want to turn with me to the Psalms, I'd like to read to you beginning at Psalm 123.
What?
123. Psalm 123. And I apologise if it's a bit hot. We tried the fireplace for the first time. So if it gets too hot, we can just push the door open. So as you might know, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are the Psalms of Ascent. I like to think of them as the Psalms of Pilgrimage. They're the Psalms that the worshippers would have sung as they journeyed towards Jerusalem to go to the temple and to meet with the Lord. But in particular, Psalms 123 and 124 reflect upon the persecution that God's people can expect as pilgrims. That as we journey through this world towards our ultimate home of heaven, it's more often than not the lot of Christians to be persecuted. Even I think the secular media is beginning to wake up to that. There was an article in the Daily Telegraph today saying how, you know, Christianity is the most persecuted group of people on the earth. I think Voice of the Martyrs estimates that there have been more Christians martyred for the faith in the last 100 years than in all the previous centuries put together. And we're blessed with prosperity and peace in our country, which historically is something we should be very thankful for. But there are many Christians around the world who, if not facing outright persecution, are suffering for the faith. And so as we pray for some of our brothers and sisters around the world tonight, I wanted you to think about that and how they might look to these Psalms for comfort. And I'd like to read to you Psalm 123 and 124. Psalm 123, a song of ascents. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. And in particular, as we've looked at the subject of shame this past week, you'll realise now that that's a psalm about shame. That language of contempt and scorn. That God's people are often made to feel ashamed. Shame is poured on them because of their faith. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. the stream would have gone over our soul, then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Pastor Kleber, could you take a few minutes to tell us about the church in Brazil?
Yes.
And how can we pray for Brazil? And okay.
First, I'm very happy to be here. And this week I learned a lot. And Pastor Matthew and Pat have been friendly with me.
Pleasure's all mine.
Okay.
That's a phrase we've been looking for.
I'm praying for you, and please pray for me and my family about this project. The Brazil is a big country. There are about 200 million people there. This number, I think so 30 or 35% are evangelical churches in Brazil. Our church, the Presbyterian Church, is the Reformed Church, Calvinist Church, and we have about 1 million members in this church. We have about 3,000 churches around all the country, 9 seminaries, and one university, Mackenzie Institute. There are a lot of schools around the country too. In Uberaba, I live there in these days, there are about 300,000 people. We have in the Uberaba 7 Presbyterian churches. We have the same numbers of the pastors, 7 pastors there. The first Presbyterian church in Uberaba has about 600 people. And the second Presbyterian church, my church, actually has about 200 people. The other churches, dissimilar, the second, 100 to 150 people there. My church is a friendly church, is an enthusiastic church. It's very common in the Brazil, the form of the meeting, a very informal, but the people love a lot the God. In Brazil, we will have two situations. The first in the country, the cities, and the second in the tribes. Mm-hmm. Tribes. We have about 258 tribes on Brazil, in north of Brazil. These tribes, 108 tribes, don't have missionaries works there. And this great problem of the work missionaries there in Brazil, because the idiom, language, mm-hmm. language is very difficult to learn there. But there are many pastors doing excellent works about these tribes of Brazil. Brazil is, there are many crimes, there are many burglaries, there are many corruptions, but I believe the church is the answer for the our country. The evangelical church is the agent of God for preaching the kingdom of the God in the Brazil. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice place to live. Nice place to live. Very nice, very interesting, and love my country. Love my country. Today, Brazil export many missionaries around the all world. because I believe there are a great revival in Brazil of the faith. Certainly, there are many. There are bad churches. There are bad churches. But until believe there are the great revival in our nation about the preaching of the gospel of the Jesus Christ. And then this is my country.
Thank you. What can we pray specifically for you, your church, for the church in Brazil?
One church more. Oh my goodness! One church more. To need more, learn more the Bible, learn the Bible. Mm-hmm. There are the Reformed churches. There are a few compared the great evangelical church in Brazil.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure to have you with us this week.
Okay, thank you.
We hope we will see you again soon.
Yeah. Okay.
So we should remember those things when we come to pray. Is anybody too hot?
I'm fine.
It's just me. Well, before I ask Margaret to give us an update on All Faiths, what I've put together here is some updates that have been sent by some Christians who Kristen and I know personally. And these are suggestions for us to pray about tonight, or you can take this away as folks to pray for. The first is Richard and Lisa Raven, who have begun a new church plant, a Reformed Baptist church, in Bloemfontein in South Africa. And you can read about their work there. Essentially, as you can imagine, there's still huge problems with poverty and racial division in South Africa. And they face, I think, perhaps a similar situation to us, that there seem to be many kind of dying and liberal churches, and there's a great need for true biblical preaching, for gospel preaching. And as an example, they're planting this Reformed Baptist church out of another Baptist church that I think is over 100 miles away, and they are the closest Reformed churches to each other that would be, you know, concentrating on the scriptures and salvation by grace. And Richard, that they have begun the church. You can get a picture of the church there, how it's grown in 4 years. But at the moment, it's just in their home. And Richard still has to work part-time in order to support the work. So we can pray for them and as an example of what the situation is like in Africa. I really hit it off on the next page with a brother called Rajesh, who works in India. And he's written a little bit here about... We met at the ICRC conference. He writes here that his church is in Varanasi, which is a stronghold of Hinduism, because it's there that it's the source of the River Ganges. He says there are over 100 people in the church, but they are very poor. They are labourers who work in the landlord's farms, and sometimes they are not given the time off to go to church on Sunday. And if they do come to church on Sunday, they can lose their job. And that the caste system in India is so strongly rooted that very few of the high caste Hindus have been converted. And so it tends to be from the very poorest people that people are coming into the church. So he's recently moved to one of the very poorest areas, and he's been blessed that around 20 people have begun to come to the church from a Hindu background. So as you can imagine, it must be very difficult to be preaching the gospel there. And actually, Rajesh's denomination, his Reformed church there, is actually asked to enter into fraternal relations with our church and our presbytery, which is going to be, I think, coming up at presbytery this coming Saturday. So we can certainly remember them. As you know, we do give money each year to MRFT, the Middle Eastern Reformed Fellowship. And this, I think, is their most recent request for prayer for Christians in the Middle East. As you can imagine, the situation in Syria, and wherever really the Arab Spring seems to have taken hold, Christians are being driven out and persecuted. The war in Iraq has had a detrimental effect upon Christians, and Christians are really suffering. I think I just read in the paper today, actually, there's a town where they used to still speak Aramaic, and Muslims and Christians lived in some kind of harmony, but now the Christians have pretty much had to abandon the town. So our brothers and sisters are literally dying and losing their homes, so we need to pray for them. I'll jump over Orphaz because Margaret's going to give us an update in a minute. And then here, on front and back, there's news about two different missionaries in Poland. One who's English on the first page, and the second on the back is Andre, who is a Polish man. I was at seminary with Andre. And they've begun to plant a church there, and as you can imagine, they face a lot of opposition because the Roman Catholic Church is so strong. And so they've, although they're encountering people who may be going to the Roman Catholic Church, you know, they don't have a Bible. They don't know what the gospel is. And he's got a few specific prayer requests there. In particular, that they are doing a lot of evangelism, a Christianity Explored course. They go out on the streets. And Andre has actually founded a printing company to print Christian literature to get it into Poland. But again, I'm sure you can imagine it's a very difficult situation. Resources are scarce. And then just as one more perhaps suggestion for prayer, that the final page was sent to me by a brother called Zakir Paul, who I also met at the ICRC. And he is an elder in a Reformed church in Pakistan. He actually goes to work every day in the shadow of where Osama bin Laden was found. And obviously with what's going on in the news, you know how dangerous it is to be a Christian in Pakistan. And Christians are an extremely tiny minority. Is it maybe 1% or 2% of the population? But what he has sent here is... What they found has been effective in terms of trying to do evangelism to Muslims is they can take medical clinics to some of the, I think they're called madrasas.
Yeah, the kind of schools.
Yeah.
They teach Islam.
Yeah, but I imagine Pakistan is probably quite diverse. Maybe some madrasas are not as strict as others, but they found that by being able to go in with medical clinics, they then try to set up what they call interfaith activities to try to dialogue, which is just an excuse for them to be able to bring in the scriptures. And of course, with the climate as well, they're trying to work for Christians to be tolerated. So even if they can just try to persuade somebody to be not violent towards Christians, that's part of the work too. So that's what there are some pictures of here. And on this picture down here is Paul Zakir. So we can pray for him, we can pray for his church and for all the churches in Pakistan. Margaret, could you give us a...
Well, I wasn't quite sure what you wanted, so...
What can we pray for?
Have you never heard of Orphaz? A very small Christian charity that works in Ecuador. Actually, I'll give you these afterwards. Work in Ecuador and Colombia. They started in Ecuador about 20 years ago, and they have a complex of houses that they built for homes that they have house parents living, and they take in orphans whose parents have died or are dying with AIDS, usually, although they do take other poor folk as well who need help, but mainly from AIDS. And some of the children there actually have AIDS and have problems with their drugs, sometimes with the side effects, and other times when the government don't supply enough for them. So sometimes they've got problems with that. They also have a little palliative care unit there where they have a room where they can nurse someone who's dying. And there's also a little chapel next door to that room. And so they really take care of the person completely, spiritually. And their real prayer is that everyone that goes through there will hear the name of Jesus and also the gospel, and that they'll come to know him. So that's Orphaz in Ecuador. Colombia, there's three girls, well, young women, working in Ecuador who are very dedicated. There's Martha Lucia. She heads up the work, and she works. I'll just make sure I can tell you the truth. I've got a note here. Because we all have their little... Where is it here? Yeah, she works in the prisons with the armed forces and the police force, giving education in prevention and explaining what HIV is. So she does that. And then there's another young girl called Anna Maria. She works in the schools giving education in prevention and also telling the young people how they ought to live their lives. And in Colombia, they are allowed by the government to actually speak the gospel. So they are able to show these young people that the way God wants us to live is to keep that relationship within marriage rather than sleep around, because their way of life there is, their culture is quite different to ours. It's quite common, and usually the girls are pregnant when they get married, and they say this is not the way to go, so it's good. And then there's Rosa, she works in the office, and in the afternoon she helps children with their homework and, well, activities as well, really. I don't know if I can tell you any more, really, because you've got the prayer letter there. We do; they do supply you, if you want to help in any other way but prayer, which is the most important. There is a news flash that they put out every month, and two or three times a year they have an in-touch little flyer that tells you what folks have done and update things, the sort of special things that have happened to raise money and give more information. If you'd like one, a news flash each month, I have a little form here that you could fill in, I think I have anyway, with your details, and you will, God willing, receive one every month. So I'll put that out. And all these other things, I've got some literature here. If you haven't had one of these ever, you're very welcome to pass them around. I don't know if you take one if you want to, or pass them on. I have handy.
Thank you, Margaret.
And I'll put that down.
I think, as I've got to know Orphades, it just seems to me to be the most worthy Christian work, deserving support.
They really just want to show the love of God to these poor people. Mm-hmm. They have people coming too from the local government, send them people that are destitute. And there's been one man there, he was there, his family got to know him, and he was ill, and he smashed up the place, he smashed his flat, and I think they got him psychiatric help, but he has since left. I don't think they could cope with him. So I don't quite know where he is now, actually. But they do take in a lot of people from the countryside, really.
And perhaps, John, could you quickly tell us, as well, you mentioned Afghanistan.
Yes. And there was a couple of things. As you all know, I'm the Air Force. My commander was former Army, so he sent an email that should, in remembrance of someone who was... Is a missing, not all, yeah, he's missing in action, but he's also a prisoner of war. He's been held, he's in the U.S. Army, he's been held by the Al-Qaeda, the Taliban. They have not killed him, incredibly, and he's been away, he's been in captivity for 4 years. So, that's just bearing in my heart. And in addition to that, the Saeed, who is the Iranian pastor, his family lives in Boise, Idaho, which is where my brother and his family live. And his the anniversary of captivity in Iran was 2 days ago, and we don't know what's going on. His family has been without him for over a year now, and they're thankful of all the prayers that they've had so far, and I just want to bring that out, because we have a brother in Iran who we don't know what his fate is, but we pray that God will intervene.
Well, I hope as we come to pray that you feel stirred up to pray for these needs and for our Christian family. And I wanted to remind you of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And what the scripture's saying is that we are one with all Christians around the world. We're one in the body of Christ. And so as we're coming to pray, we're coming, I suppose in one sense, to show our solidarity before God with them, but to bring their needs to Him. So we've a lot to think about as we come to pray. Please pray as you feel led. And let's pray together.